Good morning, beloveds. It's an honor to be before you today. Before we get started, I wanted us to get into a place of worship, which I thank the chapel band so much for because they played two of my favorites. So that was a good surprise for me. But I also prepared something else to get us in a spiritual place for what I'm going to be talking about today. Thank you. To begin with, because talking about race is hard. Looking at the truths is even harder. Facing the good and the bad is difficult because sometimes we have to look at our preconceived notions. We have to look at how we've been raised. We have to look at what we know to be true, but we might not know things that other people know to be true. So I just wanted us to get into a spiritual place of being receptive, okay? My first slide, we're talking about this chapel series that's going on. You all may not have realized it, but this is a collective effort over the next several weeks. And it should be connecting together and weaving together a message. So Mr. Hansen started out our first series introduction. He talked about the caricature of others, and he talked about the caricature of ourselves. And really, what does this go back to? How we treat each other. Remember, the chapel series is entitled Breaking Down the Walls and Thinking of Others and Thinking of Things Outside of Ourselves. So what do we mean by breaking down the walls? See, we put up walls around ourselves for several reasons. One reason is because we put up walls because we want to stay in. We want to be in our protected place. We want to be in our safe place. So we put these walls up so that no one can hurt us, no one can reach us. You can only know but so much about us. But we also put up these walls to keep others out. We don't want others in our space. We don't want to reach out a hand in friendship. We don't want to understand. So if at all, if this series can allow us to break down those walls for us who are within those walls and for those who are outside of the walls. So remember the caricature, how characteristics or traits about ourselves are brought out, how they are highlighted, whether it was Will Smith's big ears or someone's nose. But when we do that to ourselves, is one thing, it's self-defeating. But when others do it to us, that's when we start looking at how we treat each other. It's not necessary, it's not fair, and how dare we make fun of God's creation? Series two was, part two of the series was last week, when Mr. Paul Coughlin of Protectors came and he talked to us about bullying. Boy, did we have a response to that. A lot of us felt like, we don't have bullying here at AACS. I don't consider gossip bullying. I'm not knocking anyone into a locker every day. I'm not calling them names. Those are my friends. When I say, oh, you're so ugly, I'm just playing. But what about someone who takes that home with them and says, wow, if my friend thinks I'm ugly, what do everybody else think? If my friend group, if it's okay to bully in my friend group, my goodness, what kind of weapons do my enemies have for me? So then we had to think about bullying, and we had to think about that word being general, but there's so many things that fall under bullying. And so he brought that to our attention, and some of us were convicted, and we apologized, whether it was publicly, whether it was private, whether you're still working on your approach. I think we learned a lot about how we throw around the word bullying, but guess what it comes back to? How we treat each other. And then here comes Dr. Lee, your favorite veterinarian. And she's gonna say the same thing. When it comes down to these conflicts of race, it's how we treat each other. What I wanna focus on is be careful with your words and your actions. Well, that says it all. Our words and our actions speak to how we treat each other. So let's go into it. When we talk about race, and racism, we have all these terms that we seem to put in our hands like dice and just throw them out there in conversation. I've heard on campus, you all, somebody makes a statement and you say, oh, you're a racist. Do you know what you are accusing someone of? Oh, you're prejudiced. That statement is prejudice. What you wrote, what you said, what was on your shirt, that's racist. You're doing racism. Do you know what you're putting on someone when you say that about them? You have to be sure. See, these are words that you can't throw around. Words like stereotypes. Now, in my opinion, and this is true, some stereotypes, they're just true. But that's a word that we throw around. Hatred, these words of racism and bias. Tamar in his presentation Saturday night talking about implicit bias. All these terms have now been woven into our everyday talk. And so we use them casually, but we shouldn't. But when we use these words, know what they mean. Let's look at what they mean. I have to do a little teaching here. I'm a teacher. Prejudice if you say that you're prejudiced, if someone is prejudiced, you've seen prejudiced actions against you, what you're saying is prejudice, there is a preconceived judgment or notion about you. You all are famous for saying, don't judge me. You're saying, don't have a preconceived notion. Now, some of us, when we say don't judge me, we don't want to be held accountable, but that's a whole nother talk for me. But here, to an adverse opinion, something that's negative, what you think of someone based on the fact of nothing. The grounds aren't just. You don't have sufficient knowledge. You haven't done research. But you can make this statement. You can make this stand. That's prejudice. It's unfounded judgment. An irrational attitude of hostility directed against an individual, a group, a race, or their supposed characteristics. You don't like someone because of the color of their skin. You think something negative about them because of the size of their nose or the size of their ears. You already have a notion about what you think this person is made of because of where their ancestry is from, or if they're from the South. These are prejudices. So remember, it's the judgment, it's unfounded, and there's hatred, hostility attached to that. So if you cue someone to being prejudiced, this is what it means. Another word we look at is called discrimination. Now that we know what prejudice means, we can talk about discrimination. Discrimination is an action. So when you discriminate against someone, there's a prejudice or prejudicial. You've already made your decision, an outlook, an action, or a treatment. So racial discrimination. You've already made your decision about this race, and this is how you're going to talk to them, and this is how you're going to treat them. Okay? The act, the practice, or an instance of discriminating categorically rather than individually. All people with red hair do this. All people that are overweight are just greedy. All people who talk loud are just deaf and dumb. Discrimination. Don't discriminate against me because you see you have developed a prejudice. You want to put me at, and I say me, I'm talking in general. You want to put me at arm's length because of something that you've already had an unfounded, unjust decision about. There's a good film that I showed Saturday night. I love it. It's about discrimination. I want you to take a look at it.
We end the week with the story of two little girls. They are just 4 years old. But grown-ups could learn a lot from them. Here's Steve Hartman on the road.
Red. Miami preschoolers Gia Sarnicola and Zuri Copeland say they're not best friends.
I know.
They say they're closer than that. Closer than mere sisters, even.
Hold on, I'm gonna wash the paintbrush.
In fact, Gia and Zuri truly believe they're twins.
Oh, yeah.
Ashley and Valencia are their moms.
They will tell you that they are twins, and they have a long list of reasons why to back it up.
To them, what makes a twin?
Similarities.
Similarities.
Look, come here.
For example, the girls say they're both four, their birthdays are practically the same day, and of course the obvious, physical similarities.
So what am I looking at here?
The same height.
Oh, because you're the same height.
Clearly, twins. Which is why they also insist on matching outfits whenever possible. So far, Ashley and Valencia have indulged them. But they also recognize there is some bitter to this sweet.
You know, you're happy for a few seconds, and then you become sad because they have to grow up. Mm. And then society takes over.
Indeed, society has already tried to take over.
Last month, Zuri and Gia were at a birthday party when an older kid told them they couldn't be twins because they don't have the same skin color. Gia broke down. But through her tears, she got out this rebuttal. She said, "You don't know what you're talking about. We're twins because we share the same soul."
I just get chill bumps.
Soul?
I was just like thrown by just that word.
Yeah.
Obviously, what Gia was trying to say is that at our core, we are one. And as we look back on this year, with all its division and racial strife, it's important to remember that while all this was going on, so was this.
We have a lot to learn, and we can learn from children.
In fact, the moms say they already have.
For sure. Yeah. We've never talked so much on the phone.
Yeah.
And that's what the twins want for all of us, to push back against the cynics.
Some girls said we're not twins, and we are twins.
And to stop it with this discrimination business once and for all.
And it makes her sad.
That way, they say, we can move on to the more important things in life.
You know what we're going to get today?
What?
We're going to get ice cream!
Steve Hartman.
And you don't.
Oh.
On the road, without ice cream, in Miami.
I can get another.
That is the CBS Evening News Tonight. I'm Jeff.
Adorable. But it lets us know that we have more things alike than we have differences in. When we grow up and the innocence is lost and people speak from the world into our lives, we start to think differently. I can so resonate with this because I have so many of you children in this room. You are my children and you don't look a thing like me. I look so good for birthing all of you. But it doesn't, we have so many things that are in common than what we have that are differences. When you all come to my office and you talk to me and you share with me, and you ask for my advice, you ask for my help, you're looking towards me just like your mother or your aunt. Dare say I say your grandmother, but just because of wisdom, but not age. You see me. You see me and I see you. And I tell people, never say that you don't see color. Never say that you are colorblind. Because if you don't see color, you don't see me. You don't see my brown skin. You don't see my stature that I got from my ancestors. You don't see my tightly coiled hair. If you tell me you don't see color, then you see a ghost of me. Don't erase me from society. Don't make me disappear, but tell me that you see my color and it's okay, and it's all right. There's nothing wrong with it. There's no discrimination. There's no prejudice against it. There's no racism, okay? Let's look at racism. Running out of time. A belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capabilities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. The question came up, why should we, is there something wrong or should we celebrate Black History Month here at AACS? Should we have an African American culture club here at AACS? Is there something wrong with that? Is that kosher? Is that okay? Well, when you think of racism, when another race thinks that they are superior to another race, that is wrong. Now, you have to think about it, whether we're talking to non-majority people, but I'm going to speak from being Black. When you talk about the Black race, we were considered property, okay? We're considered property, something that was owned. So anything could be done to us, anything could be said to us, we could be kept from anything, we could be killed, we could be maimed, we could be hurt. We were property. We were treated as cattle, as dogs. Now, we treat our pets very well, but it wasn't like that. So when you talk about a race that was once considered property to now where we can celebrate the achievements, their ancestry, what they've contributed to U.S. history, yes, we should celebrate that. Should we celebrate it here on AACS's campus? Yes, because guess what? We are now 30% African-American on this campus. And that has never happened here before. Trust me, I've been doing the research. So we have to get with the program and understand that our brothers and sisters, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, whatever, we're here together as God's children, not as this group over here and this group over here, or I'm better than this group or I'm lesser than that group. Like, we have to get on board and understand that when you call someone a racist, watch your words. When you call someone a racist, you're saying, listen, you think that your race is superior to mine. I want to be real careful before I call someone that. I want to be real careful before I tell somebody that their comment was racist, because you are giving a loaded title to what they're saying. Let's go on. Let's look at U.S. history. Institutional racism. Again, racism is where a group of people have been put to a lower standard because another race feels like they're superior. Now, we have some wonderful history teachers that probably can go through this well, but just talking about slavery again, that was a time in U.S. history where people were owned as property. These are examples throughout history. Medicine and healthcare. There's an inequality in the way that healthcare has been done, how healthcare has been provided to the minorities. Think about the Tuskegee Syphilis Project. Think about the Guatemalan prisons where inmates were treated badly. In World War II had both victory and defeat. Victory in that non-majority people were able to serve and show their talents. But then when we had the involvement with Japan, and we as Americans felt like after World War II, could we trust our Japanese brothers and sisters? So we put them in internment camps. U.S. history, racial profiling. We've heard this, whether you're part of a race or an ethnic group that has been stopped by the police for reasons that are unfounded. And the church. The church has apologized. Several conferences and denominations of churches have apologized for upholding slavery, for keeping the segregation and division in the pulpit. So what can I do here at AACS? What you can do is embrace the change that's going on here. Be a part of history. Everywhere that you've experienced history, somebody had to be a part of it. There's going to be one day when you look back and you're going to say, you know what? I was at AACS during that time. I was part of that percentage changing. I was there when we were progressive. I was there when we were embracing each other as brothers and sisters. Watch your words. Watch your actions. We've just learned what these words mean. Are we being good stewards of our words and our actions? And appreciate the diversity in God's creation. He created us all different for a reason. He's God. He's talented. Don't put him in a box. Genesis 1:27 says we are made in his image. In Psalm 139, my anatomy classes know we were woven in our mother's wombs. We are beautiful. We are wonderfully and fearfully made. Also, I want you to take a challenge. I'm going to give you a kitchen table challenge. I always tell people, if you think about, some people say, well, nothing's wrong with my life. I'm good. I've got some friends that are different from me. But I'll give you the kitchen table challenge. In our house, our most intimate place for the family, other than the bedroom, is probably the kitchen. Everything goes down in the kitchen. We're cooking, we're talking, you're telling your parents about your day, the kitchen table may be there. When people come to visit, they go to the kitchen. Homework is done there. So I say this, if you can go to your kitchen, can you say that you've had people of other races and ethnicities sit down and break bread with you in your kitchen? If you say yes, awesome. If you say, wow, I've never even thought about that. But think about it. If you've never had someone of another race in your intimate place, your kitchen, how in touch are you with how you feel about prejudice, racism, and discrimination? I know the bell is rung and we've run out of time, but I wanted to end with you listening to Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech, about 5 minutes of it, and I unfortunately we won't be able to listen to it. But at some time, I hope that the powers that be let me come back and let us listen to that, because he had a dream of what he wanted America to look like. And right now, you are the vision of the dream. What he talked about in his speech is what you look like right now as I look out at you. He wanted little black girls and little black boys to be sitting and holding hands with little white girls and little white boys. And that's what's happening here today. So I want us to continue this conversation, but I want you to think about what I said today. And if you have any questions, you know where my office is. My door is always open to you, beloveds. So take with you today the kitchen challenge. Update me. Let me know how it goes. And if you want to feed me, I will come to your kitchen. Thank you so much.